Jesus' name, we are so thankful to come boldly. And Lord, thanking you that it's mercy abounding. And Lord, there's need everywhere here today. And Lord, thank you, God, it's all in Jesus. Lord, we just ask you to draw our hearts, Lord. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding. God, the joy unspeakable and full of glory awaits each and every one of us. Lord, let us just step on in. Let us just step on in and step on in. Lord, it's free, it's full, and it's running over. God, you've led us across. We're in that land, and it's a land flowing of milk and honey. But Lord, you gotta want it. And Lord, put that desire in our hearts. And let us walk throughout all the land. And God, we thank you today in Jesus' name that, Lord, just a little bit more, just seeing a little more of the beauty of God. And someday soon he shall appear. And thank you, Lord, we will be like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and open our Bibles today. We'll begin in 1 Peter chapter 2, and then we'll move on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake." Isn't that wonderful? Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. See, there's love there. "Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Now turn on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. "But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak." So our first verse was, with well-doing, by the grace of God, you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And here we read, "Don't let your liberty in Christ stumble them that are weak." Well, I thank the Lord then that our walk and our manner of life to do good things isn't to be more holy. No. I believe it's very clear. It's to quiet the foolish, the ignorant, and the weak. Now, if you notice here, these verses aren't concerned with those that are strong in the faith. Because by the grace of God, those that are strong in the faith should be looking at the things he looks at. Amen? Does he look at the outward appearance? No, he's the God that looks upon the heart. And I thank God that that's what our Lord is and that's who he is after. Now, I want us to really understand this. This isn't any excuse to go out there and do wrong or to do whatever you think you want to do. And it's quite the contrary here, because when you receive the great love wherewith you're loved, that's not something that's number one on your list. Matter of fact, you're not thinking that way, are you? Matter of fact, when you begin to fall in love with Christ, his desires begin to flood your heart. He causes you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not out of guilt, it's out of love. Said it many times. This was a kid that never did much at home. I had a mom that did everything for me. She cleaned my room. She vacuumed. She did everything. Never, ever did a dish in that house. Shame on her son. But mom loved doing it. It was that way, and I was happy. I don't want to get myself cornered into something here. But those that have heard this story know that, but then I found and married a first love. And I have a wife. And it's amazing that now I enjoy doing dishes and vacuuming and all of those things. And it's not because I'm threatened. It's not because, oh, I want a happy home. It's because I love. And when there's a love in your heart, it'll cause you to will and to do of your lover's pleasure. Amazing thought, isn't it? He just loves me. And as I found out, as I've grown in that love, man, do I want him to do it. His love is so lovely, I don't want to do a thing. Because I know I'll mess it up. But I know by him doing it, it's going to be exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. But see, we don't just want to go out there and do wrong. We get the love of the truth in our lives and we desire to honor the Father. Amen. See, that's a child and children today. And this, I encourage every young person here, appreciate your parents. The enemy just wants to get things and point them out of what they did wrong or did this or what you think you need to be doing and rebel. It's a nature that's in our flesh. Don't get me wrong. You got to fight against that. And what's going to happen to win that is going to be love. When you begin to honor your father and mother, let me tell you, you'll love them. And you'll want to honor them. And by the grace of God, this is a love work. This isn't your works. Your works are filthy rags, the word of God says. The work that he wants is his work, which is love. The love that motivates, the love that inspires. That's why the word of God says, get filled with the Holy Ghost. You need that love shed abroad in your heart. And then I'll tell you what, it'll transform you to a whole different place. You'll become so lovely you won't even recognize that guy that you're living in. And that's the truth. But see, what happens here is we desire to honor the Father. We desire being spiritual, don't we? And in desiring to be spiritual, especially to put to silence the finger pointing of the self-righteous. Because that's the judgment of the foolish, the ignorant, and the weak. The strong, you know where they stay? They stay in the word of his grace. And they're content. They lock in. And they go on. Now, this doesn't mean that them that are strong in the faith don't have issues and problems. Matter of fact, that's quite the contrary. Them that are strong in faith, they have a lot of problems. That's why they have faith. If you really think about them that are really strong in faith, they realize what a problem God's working with right here. And you realize you need faith. Matter of fact, you need faith, but the beautiful thing about what you need is it pleases God. It's impossible to please God without faith. And how does faith come? Faith comes by what we're doing right now, hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the strong in faith have problems. That was made very, very clear in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul. If you read that chapter, it's a beautiful, raging battle. Summed up in so many things, but maybe best as he said, oh, the good that I would, the good I want to do, I don't do. But the evil that I don't want to do, I keep doing that. And Paul was expressing and writing these things over 30 years since that wonderful moment on that road to Damascus. This had been worked in his heart to write and to express these things. The reality of this good fight of faith. Amen? You go on over into 2 Corinthians. You don't need to turn there, but you know this. If you know this story, in 2 Corinthians, it's chapter 12. The Apostle Paul, he seeks the Lord three times about a thorn that he's got. Lord, I need you to take this. This is something that I know will make me more holy. It'll make me a better Christian. If you take this away, I'll have such a greater testimony, God. And you know the end of that story. No way, son. I gave that to you as your greatest present you're going to ever have. Because if I take that away, you're going to be magnified and not me. And it's kind of interesting because you know that thorn? It's never told as to what that thorn was. Never is. Matter of fact, in that, I know that it was Paul's thorn alone.
It was his. He was shut up to God in it. Are you shut up to God sometimes in your thorns? You know, you can have somebody pray for you and they don't need to know everything about what's going on. I encourage. But I'm going to tell you this too. I'm very sure if Paul would have revealed, if the Lord would have revealed what was going on in Paul, it would have knocked out a whole bunch of ignorant, weak, and foolish. Well, let's see where the Lord's going with this one today. Do you see why, brothers and sisters, we need to take heed with our liberty? May I remind you once again what liberty a Christian has. 1 Corinthians 10:23. You know how much liberty a Christian has? All things. Did you hear that? How much liberty does a Christian have? He has all things. And you know what all things are? All things are lawful. All things are lawful for a son of God. Why would all things be lawful for you? Because where there is no law, there is no sin. How powerful is the cross to you? It's all powerful. It's that powerful. All of those ordinances which were against you, those law and ordinances which were against you, he nailed them to the cross. He fulfilled them for you. By the grace of God, in that moment, praise God, the most precious moment, Lord, I call upon your name as my Savior. Isn't that marvelous? I entered into the realm of grace and grace alone. And where there is no law, he took that. There is no sin. So once again, how much liberty do you have? All. All things. All things are lawful. And yes, I do know as well as you. But all things are not expedient. So even though they're lawful for me, even though it's not going to change anything with how he loves me, and it won't. Because he can't help it, because we go back to how we even started today, because the life of his son Jesus lives in me. And nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. And why? Because it's the love of God where? In Christ. In Christ. So praise be to God. I know that all things are lawful for me, but I also understand that all things are expedient. That means that all things are not going to be spiritually encouraging to you. To my life. Right? And thanks be to God. That's called the love of God that constrains us. And it's true. That I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. By the grace of God, there grows a love up in us. That praise the Lord. Not only do we want to please him, I want to love you. Amen? But yet, you know, so often, we like to dwell on this flesh, don't we? Oh, yes. What else are we going to dwell on, huh? That's what the enemy wants you to dwell on, is the flesh. Yep. Whether it's my flesh or your flesh. A lot of Christians like to dwell on your flesh. But sometimes the enemy can get us to even dwell on our flesh. But sometimes that's what happens too, is I dwell on my flesh, then I get to dwell on your flesh. Because my flesh is a lot better than your flesh. But yet, do you understand and do you know the Word of God tells us? No, there's just but one flesh. And it's a sinful flesh. And it's got every bit of every sin in that flesh. So I don't go around comparing myself to you or you to me, because I know we got the same thing. I know I got the same wonderful plan of God that's working it. How wonderful. But yet we do. We spend so much time on this flesh trying to make it right. And it's so funny because the Lord said, you know, it's interesting, honey. Why do you spend so much time on something that's coming off? You know this coming off. You know that the Word of God says when this corruptible puts on the incorruptible. I'm groaning right now with you in this mortal to be covered up, praise God, with life. Hallelujah. Now, Christians spend so much time dwelling on that. And I'll even mark out a couple of the highlights. We like to dwell on, well, fornication and adultery. Them's good words, they get people's attention. Let's dwell on that. That's a good one. You know, we can condemn a lot of folks. You know, we're going to get them right because we're going to change the flesh, which you're never going to change. It's coming off. God ain't about changing that. It's the new man that he wants growing up that changes what? From glory to glory into what? Into his very image. But you think about this. We talk about words like fornication. We talk about adultery. Do you know in Paul's epistle, you know Paul, that sweet apostle, God gave him more books in the Word of God to write than anybody else. He wrote all those wonderful letters and things. But you'll find the word adultery three times. Three verses in all of them epistles. Isn't that something? And you'll find the word fornication just about the same amount. All right? But yet that's a word people want to dwell on and they want to think about that stuff. And yet then you got a word like love. It's found different forms hundreds of times. Hundreds. You got a wonderful word like grace in all of its different forms hundreds of times. Mercy in all of its different forms hundreds of times. What do you think the Lord wants you dwelling on? A lot of times, even in that adultery and fornication, you know what it's talking about? A lot of people think it's about our actions as human beings. Actually, the majority of even those few times it's mentioned, it's about being true to the Word of God. It's about being true to the Word of His grace. It's about not fornicating with other doctrines than Paul's gospel. I sure love you. And I know there's no other way we're ever going to grow up but grace. And I know God's doing it. It's a beautiful work. But it doesn't mean we pat ourselves on the back and get complacent, huh, sis? I was thinking about our precious Pastor Hill and all the years that he ministered this precious grace and this precious mercy. And I'm confident there were probably a few that entered in, but I tell you what, knowing what I know, I think it was mighty lonely. And I thought of him kind of like a Moses. And not that I'd compare myself, but I believe I got the same grace and even a little bit more than a Joshua. And I came into something so rich, so mighty and so full. But he didn't leave me alone. He gave me a Caleb. And he gave me all these precious ones to go on over and enjoy. But you know what happened to the majority of them, though? They got complacent again. We need to be quickened, huh? Give the more earnest heed to these things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. How are we going to neglect such great salvation? See, I want to grow wise and more wise into our salvation and rejoice and grow wise in that salvation with eternal glory. Now, I pray with the Apostle Paul, and I know you do the same. We don't want to stumble one another in our walk, do we? I don't want to do a thing as a charge against the gospel. But if there be anybody here that think me or anybody else is abiding today in full compliance with the Ten Commandments in our flesh, you're a fool. You're a fool. And if you think you are, you're a real fool. And that's the truth. I'm saying in your flesh. I know it's been completed for me in Christ. But this flesh is never going to get it done. And then I'd be even more sad that someone would be so ignorant and weak looking for moral ones. instead of really searching out those that are full of truth and love, who love Paul's gospel, who are looking for the bridegroom's appearing. 1 Samuel 15:22 tells us to obey and hear the word of God is better than sacrifice. Did you hear that? To obey and to hear the word of God is better than to sacrifice. Isn't that something? That was old King Saul. He thought he could just get out there and sacrifice. Actions will never get it. It's the heart that he's looking for. It's the heart of that little shepherd kid that was forgotten even by his daddy. When Samuel said, line them up, God told me it's coming out of your line that we're going to have a king over Israel. Oh, it's got to be this one and this one. Got down to the point where they're both looking at him. Don't you got any other sons, man? Well, it couldn't. And before he got couldn't be, old Samuel said, that's God's choice. And he chose the one that wasn't a goodly man. See, Saul was a goodly man. Saul was this one that was doing the good things. Saul was the one that was weak, ignorant, and foolish. But here you had the little shepherd guy that God would show would, oh my. God did all that for them, raised him up to be king, and said, oh honey, I've anointed you. And yet I'm going to set you up on that roof and I'm going to let you lust after a woman. Oh, God wouldn't be behind that. Oh, no, 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 no. God didn't foresee that that Bathsheba would be the very line of Jesus Christ. God rid me of my self-righteousness. Oh, I pray, brothers and sisters, I pray. Only God knows our heart, doesn't he? The word of his grace will cause the heart to be the heart of God. But I pray that this self-righteousness does not dwell in any of us here today. Don't let it be hidden down there in a way of just waiting to pounce upon a brother. Waiting to wait for something to happen, something to fall. See, I knew it wasn't real. Let me tell you something, he's real. And he's after those that he's going to show mercy to. His vessels of mercy, you know what he does with them? He bestows the riches of his glory on them. And I have heard ones that have fed on this truth for years that have somewhat looked down upon mercy. I'll tell you what, you better be looking up at mercy. And then you better be looking down upon the blood of the mercy seat too. But I don't think it's looking down on it. It's called worship. Close this up. I don't want to be, and I don't want you to be, the ignorant or the weak. I don't want to love somebody more because they're a good guy doing good things or they're such a moral person. I want to love you because you love the truth. That's why I want to love you. And that's the truth. And I'll tell you something, brothers and sisters, we're all going to have lapses. You're going to have lapses. You're going to. Every single one of us, we're going to give into temptation at times. It's going to happen. But I'll tell you one thing. You best love those that love the truth. Because there's not many left. They're not. If your love is based on the outward appearance, I'll tell you what. There is a multitude of self-righteous churches that will open their door wide open to you. And I'm going to tell you sadly, I've seen them go out of here, the self-righteous, over the years. Oh yes. I have, and you have too. And without exception, I'll tell you one thing that happens when you depart from the word of his grace. I'm talking about Paul's gospel. You'll never depart from the love of Christ. He loves you. You'll never depart from being a child of God. It's the seed that remaineth. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and I'll tell you. The thing that happens when you depart in that, you fall away from the truth. That beautiful bridal gospel that Mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, it fades away. And it's an amazing thing. It's almost to a point when you visit with different ones that it's like they never heard it before. You talk about leaving your first love, it's a divorce. It's dead. It becomes a dead thing. But thank God that even though all of that might burn, he still abides faithful. Now, some people could scoff at that and say, oh, who does he think he is? Well, let me tell you something. If you're not awakened the truth enough, you know, he sent a flood. How many did he take out? Eight. He started with some disciples. How many did he take? 12. He brought a dispensation called the bridal message. Did he just pour it out to a bunch, or did he start with one? And you know, it wasn't a popular thing. Matter of fact, sweet Peter, well, I'll tell you what, he really realized. He said that Paul, he says some things that are hard to be understood by them that wrestle with the scriptures. I talk to Christians often. I know people sometimes come in here and they'll visit and all, and I appreciate whatever they'll hear in the Word of God. But a lot of times they come away and they say, well, I don't really get that. I might not want that. I don't. Well, I'm going to ask you something. Are you wrestling with the scriptures? Will you sit down and will you hear the truth? Will you sit down and truly be open not to hear what your heritage has said? Will you be sincere to hear not what your religion has taught you? I believe God said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. How could the apostle Paul pop up and come in there amongst all those disciples and all and say, you know what? He gave me the whole counsel of God. How dare that guy? Who does he think he is? God's choice. It's God's choice. And you know what God's choice always is, like we started today? It's a few. He always whittled it down. Gideon, you're going into battle. Oh, you got thousands? That's way too many, son. We're going to go in my way. I'm going to take it down to the gold, silver, and the precious stone. All that wood, hay, and stubble, we're going to burn that off. They're just going to be a handful. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. There's a remnant. And he calls her out, doesn't he? Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. There were others in that palace besides Esther. But the love that the king had for her exceeded all the other women. How do you explain all that? Paul's gospel. All right, now. And I will say this, because God wants me to. If you desire the fullness of his truth and love, by the grace of God, you know what? We're in the right place. I tell you, I marvel all the time I come in here. Lord, how'd you do this? How'd you keep your hand? But then he tells me, I'm the God that walked them around that desert 40 years. Their shoes didn't even wear out. How'd you protect that little Esther and bring it? He's after you. It is that precise. It is a pearl of great price. It's okay. You can thank him. He loves you really, truly, just the way you are. Knowing that mercy, knowing that grace. That's who he's going to clothe with the riches of his glory.
Jesus. Emmanuel,
Jesus.
You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Oh, yes.
And ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, whom I foreknew, I predestined, I determined, I called, I justified, I will be glorified.
Oh, yes.
In Jesus.
Yes. Hallelujah. And in that, praise God. Yes, Jesus. I am that I am. And we thank you for that love. We thank you for the truth and the grace that you've poured out today. In Jesus' name, amen.